We're all worried about identity theft. Someone steals your credit card or gets the number off the internet, and it can cost you thousands of dollars. There is another kind of identity theft. Every day we see people trying to discover their personal identity through plastic surgery, facial injections, meaningless sexual liaisons, or by buying into the latest fad. Do you know who you are? Dealing with your personal identity theft. Prepare to better understand your future on Beyond Today.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
To have someone steal this, a credit card, can cause you untold problems and cost you thousands of dollars. Not only can identity theft hurt you financially, it can make you feel emotionally violated and unsafe. You know, there's another kind of identity theft that affects your life emotionally and spiritually. You often hear social commentators say that we are a society obsessed with looking like a Hollywood movie star. In reality, most of us over 30 aren't really obsessed with beauty. We're obsessed with being young. Forget about growing old gracefully. We want to cheat time. It is sad to see so many middle-aged celebrities whose faces look like something out of a wax museum due to multiple injections and surgeries trying to capture a fleeting youth. Many of the values of our society are based in fantasy glamour, wrapped in the belief that we can fix everything through the latest television ad. If you want to feel better about yourself, get breast implants. If you want to feel better about not having to deal with the problems of life, take an antidepressant. If you don't want to change your lifestyle, get liposuction. The solutions to life are easy. If you don't like something, just throw it away and get something new and improved, including your husband or wife. Get more money, get more stuff, and when your face begins to mark time with wrinkles, get Botox. What is it that you're really looking for? Eternal youth? Your identity has been stolen, and it's time to let God show you who you really are. You know, it's normal for young people to want to look like the models they see in magazines and movies. But let's face it, the cheap sexuality of Britney Spears hasn't helped many young girls find real happiness in their relationships. And how many times have we seen a young woman wasting away with anorexia because her sense of identity is framed by an impossible view of beauty she saw on the big screen? An Associated Press MTV poll asked people ages 13 to 24, what makes you happy? What do you think the number one answer was? Friends, money, clothes, drugs, having a girlfriend? No. It was time spent with family. Quite a different answer than many people would suspect. Here's something else you might be surprised at. Many young people admitted that being sexually active led to being less happy. 92% said that they wanted to get married someday. The stereotype of teen and young adult sexual freedom that it leads to happiness, it's just not true. Nearly half of young people said that religion and spirituality are very important to them. They also claim some kind of belief in God, and that many said that organized religious groups are a source of happiness. This survey reveals two of the most important needs that all of us have as human beings. Now, how we fulfill these needs shape who we are and determine our sense of self-identity. Let's look at them. First, you need to acknowledge your Creator. Now, I don't mean you need to believe that God exists. Most people believe in God. The most important question is, do you trust God enough to let Him guide your life? A young man came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." The young man replied, "Which ones?" Jesus told him, "Don't commit violence, keep sex and marriage, be honest, be truthful in what you say, have strong families, and love your neighbor as yourself." The young man told Jesus that he had done these things all his life. And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Here Jesus outlines the major priorities God wants for your life. Apply the Ten Commandments to how you treat other people every day. And don't become burdened with the stress of trying to find your identity in money and the things that money can buy and what you look like. Jesus didn't say just to believe in him, by the way. He said, follow me. The primary source of a happy self-identity is our acceptance of God as our creator and Jesus Christ as our teacher. The Associated Press MTV survey showed that a second important source of self-identity is personal relationships, especially in our families. Now, many of us come from dysfunctional families. We are hurt and hardened by divorce, abuse, and neglect. You can see yourself as a victim, or you can accept the challenge to break the cycle. You can learn the simple rules of healthy relationships and change your life and the lives of others. Your identity has been stolen. It's time to let God show you who you really are. In the next segment, we're going to talk about how to have better relationships in your family. We'll be right back.
Why were you born? Children may ask. So many think only God knows. Whatever your background, the answer is so spectacular you can't believe it until you prove it for yourself in your free copy of What is Your Destiny? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when he described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny.
Be sure to go to beyondtoday.tv and get your free copy of What is Your Destiny? This book, in a very simple way, will help you begin to understand the purpose God has for you and your life. The meaning that you can have, that you can share with others, that'll bring real happiness and let you look forward to the life that God has for you in the future. You know, last segment we talked about how we're a society of people looking for personal identity. So much of our identities and sense of self-worth comes from the relationships we have with our families, which makes this important in how we deal with our children. Joining us is Todd Carey. Todd, what impact does family have on the development of self-identity?
Oh, it's a huge impact, Gary. Thinking back when I was younger and growing up in a household of, you know, five children, two parents, extended family, and the impact that had on us on just day-to-day living, you can cover everything from, you know, our family routine, you know, getting up, doing chores, our work ethic, the way that we were disciplined, to the way we worshiped, you know, and how that impacted on us. Family gatherings, you know, extended family coming by Sunday for the big, you know, Sunday showdown with food and a great time and eating a lot of unhealthy food and on and on. Now, you take all those and how those impact you as a child, and you grow up with these things and they stay with you. Relationships that follow after that. If your fan was into, having hospitality and having people over, chances are you're going to do the same things. The way things were set up in your household as far as rules and regulations and chores and how those things were put forth, you're probably going to have some of those with you when you enter into your relationship. You get married and say, well, here's what was done in my household. Here are the traditions of my family. They follow you. The positive ones and sometimes some of the negative ones that you quite frankly, have to maybe fight against sometimes.
Todd, it is important for parents to realize that they can start any time to help their children. It's never too late. What are some practical things that parents can do to help their children develop a healthy sense of self-identity?
It's so important early on for a parent to begin to build a child's identity. You know, as a minister, you know, we understand that it's so very important to identify ourselves as children of God. God has a plan. God has for us responsibilities that he wants us to carry out. He wants married couples to have successful relationships. He wants parents to have successful relationships with their children. And so he lays out the guidelines and says, I want you to follow these. And if you follow this guideline, then your path to having a enriching marriage, to having healthy, vibrant families, you know, you're going to have a great opportunity at success with these things. So it's incumbent upon a parent early on. You know, we talk about building identities. You know, there are many things in our society today that wants to grab our children and, as you said earlier, steal their identity. And they want our children to identify with things that perhaps they're trying to teach and want children to go after.
You know, I think one of the most important things you can do for a child, especially the younger ones, is give them a sense of security. It's in that sense of security that they begin to develop their self-identity. And that means that that husband-wife relationship is absolutely essential. If the stronger that relationship is, the more secure the children are, and therefore the more that strong sense of self-identity is formed, which makes this very difficult then for single parents in many ways, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. To be sure, Gary, it's challenging, it's difficult. But I like to say to those who are single parents, it's not impossible. And a single parent who is rearing their children in such an environment, you know, they have the same questions that must be asked that a two-parent household have to ask themselves. What type of environment do I want to rear my child in? What are the types of people who are going to have an impact on their identity? And then they have to pursue those things. Is there anyone in the family? Let's say, for example, it's a mother who has a son. She's the single parent. She's the mom. She has to say, how do I want my child to grow up? Mm-hmm. Who do I want him to identify with? Who do I want him to hang around with? And then she has to use resources, perhaps in her own extended family. Are there individuals in her extended family, uncles, who can make an impact as male role models for her son?
You can't do it alone.
You can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. It's going to take, you know, it's going to take time. And that's something that, you know, hey, we're all just, you know, cut short for time. But then you come back to the question, Gary, do you love your child?
Yes.
Do you love them to the point where you're willing to invest in them? Because if you're going to raise up children, and if they're a gift from God, and we all agree with that, and God says, you know, if you are still a single parent, you still have the same responsibility to rear your child in the way they're supposed to go. And so, although it may be a daunting task, you know, parenting is not easy when you parent correctly.
Right. It's not easy with two.
Exactly. We have to be on the same page, and we have to build. And we talk about, again, helping them to identify. You know, one important aspect of that is introducing them to God.
God as Father.
Yes. There,
and, you know, God introduces himself as the God of the fatherless.
Yes.
In some passage in the Scripture.
Yes.
So he can be, if we can get children to see him as Father, that can help fill a void. Because there's a lot of single mothers out there struggling with that.
There really are. And, again, as difficult as it may seem, you know, if they want God to reside, you know, in that family, and again, to the best of their ability, they have to try to set up those relationships to identify God in their lives, and to also, Gary, show that even though it might be a single parent home, God is still for families. God is still for strong marriages, because that child is going to grow up one day, and if that single parent has been putting forth the opportunities for that child to grow, to identify themselves with God, that God wants that child to have happy marriages. God wants that child to also have, you know, families. Mm-hmm. And so that cycle can continue of teaching and instructing, you know, difficult, but not impossible.
What other things come into a child's life that help shape their identity that parents need to be aware of?
Parents really have to, from the get-go, Gary, right from the start, identify their children, introduce their children. Again, we go back to God. God created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden. He performed their marriage. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He did all that for a reason, a purpose. He wanted a relationship with them. What parents can do today is just so beneficial for their children. They can teach and instruct their child about what God is wanting for them, the blessings and things God will give them, you know, for obedience, mm-hmm. but also parents need to model that, Gary.
That's important.
You can tell your children, you know, here's what God expects, here's what God desires, here's what he intends for this to be. But if the child is not seeing that in you as the parent, then that's just, well, that's good information, but I don't see the application of that. mom and dad or mom or just dad. If you're going to teach it, you have to model it. And that will just give you great strides as far as what that child can see and see the benefits. As parents, we can tell our children, the world is hard, the world is tough, the world is harsh. All true. But also we have to tell our children, these are the benefits. If we have a relationship with God, here are the benefits, the blessings. And teach our children about the blessings that come with obedience. Teach them about the blessings that come with a happy marriage, a strong marriage, and a strong family. Help them to see the value of it.
The basis of moral teaching is that there's right and wrong, and that there is good for doing the right, and there's bad for doing the wrong. And it really is that simple.
Yes.
Todd, we're up against the break. I really appreciate you being with us here today.
Thanks, Gary.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about your spiritual identity crisis that many people suffer from. So don't go away.
Why were you born? Discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when he described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you go to beyondtoday.tv and order your free copy of What Is Your Destiny, we'll also send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Very important magazine that can help you in understanding God's plan for your life, what He wants for you, how to live life, how to help you have happy marriages, how to help you understand your future. Now it's time for the Beyond Today panel with Beyond Today hosts Darris McNeely and Steve Myers. Today we're discussing the identity crisis so many people seem to be dealing with in our country. So first, let's start with the obsession so many people have with cheating time and looking young. Why?
Because we don't want to grow old. We're not comfortable with it. Most people I know, and myself included, just like most other people, resist the aging and tendencies that are a part of life. We have spent all of our years, in a sense, trying to maintain a youthful vigor. But when the autumn of our years begin to creep upon us, Gary, then it's a rather disconcerting situation. We don't recover quite as quickly from a game of tag football on a Sunday afternoon.
It hurts.
Absolutely. And those things begin to remind us that time is creeping up on us, just and it's a part of life. And our culture and our society has not always been comfortable dealing with that, especially in our modern world.
But wouldn't you say that old is not cool? Old today is not relevant. It doesn't matter because we're after the young look. Young is cool. Young is hip. Young is in. And we're judged by looks. You look at the way society is today, there is a fear of death.
Yes.
And I think the Bible had it right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 talks about those who are held in fear their whole life. We're held in fear by death, by that thought that death is coming. And so we try to cheat it with our liposuction. We try to cheat it, you know, with Botox. And we think we can get around it by that, but it's not going to happen that way.
Well, I think it comes down to the fact, Gary, that we don't understand that aging is a part of life.
Yes.
You know, if you really understand that growing older is part of that phase that God built into life and expectancy, then you realize that this is a stage we have to go through. And it's not always comfortable. I was preparing a talk here about a year ago, and I thought I would give a talk on aging and how to age gracefully. And I got into it, read some books, and was taking some notes on it. And after a while, you know, I realized I don't know that I'm ready to give this sermon. It was a sermon for a group of people that I work with. And I realized I wasn't ready to give that even in my own mind. And I put it aside. Now, this year I might be a little bit closer to being ready to give such a talk as that. But, you know, it's not something that we are comfortable facing with ourselves, but it's an inevitability. But when you understand that old age is a part of life that God designed in order to help prepare us for the ultimate calling that we have, which is being a part of His family for all eternity, then you realize that it can truly be some of the better years if we fully prepared for it.
And that's so important, because none of us, I don't like the gray hair. I don't like the fact that we're slowing down. I mean, none of us like that. But the truth is, this life has a purpose and meaning, and there's something beyond this. And understanding that the Creator has something for us beyond this helps us through these times. We're looking forward to something else while enjoying life today.
Well, there's more to life than looks. You know, yeah. We value how things look, and we walk by sight. We don't walk by faith in this world. And I think that's the difficult issue. God says it's supposed to be just the opposite. We're supposed to walk by faith. And He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is what counts. God has something in mind for all of us. It's not about the looks. It's about maturity. It's about character. It's about putting on the image of God. That's the image we're made in.
Yes. You know, there's a poem by Browning, and it goes, I can't recite the entire poem, but it ends with a thought that, "Come grow old with me, the best is yet to come." And I think that when you approach life that way, then you can prepare for your later years and enjoy those. It's when you don't understand that in your youth that you have problems and you take certain choices and decisions when you're young that set us up for some pitfalls in our later years.
Well, it throws us off of what our real identity should be.
Identity,
because when you talk about identity, what did Christ tell us? He said, "Follow me." So our identity should be in Him. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." So our identity should be found in God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
When we see ourselves as children of God, that identity can be so strong. Because that identity drives us, it motivates us, it really determines the decisions we make every day in life. So that is so important, and it gives a hope for the future, because this isn't all there is. There's a plan that God has for an afterlife, and that's a reality that's waiting for us.
Well, you know, one of the most important questions that was asked of Jesus, and I think you mentioned it earlier in the program, was the fact that the rich young ruler came to Christ and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In other words, what do I have to do to live forever? And Christ laid out the commandments, the teachings, by which if you live, you again frame a life that has your identity in Christ, in God, and that helps you then to understand your whole purpose for living, which is ultimately to become a part of the family of God and to live forever with Him. But it's according to a framework and a set of guidelines that, again, most people are not really prepared to live by and understand.
It doesn't put our identity in youth. It puts our identity in God.
That's important.
And that's the difference. I don't have to look a certain way. I don't have to have the Hollywood vision. I don't have to have this perfect, you know, complexion. That doesn't have to be there. I find my value, I find my identity in Jesus Christ.
As the Apostle Paul put it this way when he was speaking to the Athenian philosophers in Acts 17. He said, "In Him we live and breathe and have our being." And again, when you have a really fixed in your mind an image of Christ as the Scriptures portray Him, and you really understand what type of man He was and life He lived, then you have no problem putting your life in Him and living and breathing, in other words, your whole essence, your whole soul, being wrapped up in Jesus Christ of the Gospels. That is a far different cry than most people really understand.
Well, I just think of myself and my own life and how empty my life would be if it wasn't for the fact that I feel I was called by God. I know that Christ is in my life. I know where God is taking me. Now, that I don't always know in the short run. Sometimes in the short run, there'll be sickness or difficulties or problems. God doesn't promise to protect us from all problems. He promises to get us through them. And that changes everything. It changes the way you look at old age. I mean, as we grow older, you know, the old saying that old age isn't for sissies, it gets tougher and tougher as we get older.
Yeah, and the identity of a solution for our problems. We can identify solutions
yes.
by looking to God. I've got problems. I've got difficulties. You do too. Well, where's the solution? Well, I can identify that solution in God's plan. Look to His Word. Look to the Bible, where we find that identity from. And then we can begin to deal with life's difficulties, life's troubles, whatever situations we're faced with. When we look to God and find our identity there, there's hope. There's hope for our future then.
I've talked to people, and you probably have too, they're in their 60s or their 70s, and they look back and they talk about their youth, whether it be their teenage years or early 20s, and they say that was the best part of my life. I've heard people say high school was the best part of my life, and nothing's been the same since. And that is so sad, Because every stage of life is supposed to be very special, very different, whether you move from the youth to the young married stage, married with children, empty nest, grandparents, which is the stage I'm entering into. Every one of those stages is very special if we understand what God wants for us at those times.
You know, Gary, when I was young, I began to understand the plan of God and the purpose of life. I grew up in the 60s, like a lot of our audience and a lot of people who are watching this program. And before us all were a lot of challenges and rebellion and a lot of choices. It was a new time in American society. And I would have to say that coming to understand the plan of God, coming to understand the Christ of the Scriptures, and living by His principles helped me as a young person make certain decisions that kept me from, in a sense, stepping off the cliff and making decisions that affected the entire rest of my life. I was able to pull back from certain decisions. I didn't live a perfect life. I'm not saying that I did.
It's hard to see you as a flower child.
Well, I wasn't exactly a flower child, but I was a child of the 60s. But understanding this knowledge did help me to appreciate my youth and enjoy it. I don't look back at it as the most, maybe the best part of my life. I look at really the future of my life is still the best is yet to come.
Yes, the best is yet to come because God has something for us. We're up against a break. We'll be right back right after this.
Why were you born? Discover a coming reality binding all people into a common destiny so great even the universe cannot contain it. Created with a potential so astonishing, this truth blinded Jesus' generation when he described it. You need to really know what is your potential and a destiny before time began. Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to grasp what is your destiny.
So you want to look like a Hollywood star? Well, spend hours a day in physical training and sitting in the makeup trailer while professional makeup artists turn you into a fantasy. But underneath all that glamour, you will still be who you are in the quiet of your own thoughts. You are the victim of identity theft. This theft is a whole lot worse than if someone would have stolen your credit card. What has been stolen from you is the understanding of why you were born. What is the Creator's purpose for your life? You can't keep using the same old solutions to the same old problems. You'll just keep arriving at the same old results. Stop reciting the Lord's Prayer by rote. Get on your knees before God and ask Him to help you understand why He made you. Prayer isn't a ritual. It is a privilege to talk with the Creator of the universe. You also have to trust God enough to let Him guide your life. Where did Jesus say to begin? Don't commit violence, keep sex in marriage, be honest, be truthful in what you say, have strong families, and love your neighbor as yourself. He also said to protect your life's priorities by not defining your identity by appearance and money. Only you can decide to change your life. Only you can take responsibility to seek God and His purpose for you. When you do, God will give you back your identity, and you will discover your future beyond today. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.